This week's Parsha is Parsha's Akev, and we are going to discuss chapter 8, verse number 8, but we'll start with verse number 7. The Pasuk is praising Eretz Yisrael, and he's saying, Ki Hashem Elokecha mevi'acho el Eretz Tevo, Hashem your God is bringing you to a good land, Eretz Nachle Moim, a land with stream of waters, Ayonois of springs, Utohoimois and underground water, Yoitzim that come out Babiko in the valley, Uvahar and the mountain. Now the Pasuk continues praising Eretz Yisrael, and it tells you the seven species of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Chito Soira, a land of wheat and barley, Vegefen and grape, Uteeno and fig, Verimoin and pomegranate, Eretz Zeit Shemen, a land that give oil of olive, Udvash and honey. And the Gemara explains that the Dvash is talking about Dvash Tamarim, honey of dates. Comes out the seven species of Eretz Yisrael are wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranate, olive, and dates. The Grai on Masechtas Brachas, Daf Mem Aleph, and the Sif Sechoyen, one of the Talmidim of the Arizal, asks a question, what's so special that Eretz Yisrael has got fruits or special native fruits? Every land has native fruits. For example, Hawaii is known for their pineapples. Brazil is known for their coffee. Georgia is known for peaches. Different regions of the world have different native fruits that the place is praised by. Then what's so special about this Shiva Saminim, these seven species, that Hashem decides to praise Eretz Yisrael by its fruit? Every country obviously has a fruit that is praiseworthy. The Gro answers based on the Gemara in Tainus, Dafyud Amud Aleph. There the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael shoyse mei geshamim, that the land of Israel drinks from rainwater directly from Hashem, v'chol ha'olam kulo metamtzes, and the whole world gets from the leftovers, from the remnants of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi explains, as the rain falls first in Eretz Yisrael, and then the leftover rains falls in the other lands, the Rashbi in Ein Yaakov explains that a higher quality of rain, since it comes directly from Hashem, falls in Eretz Yisrael, and the leftover quality of rain falls in the rest of the world, Shenemar, because the Pasuk in Iyuv, chapter 5, verse 10, brings down, Hanoisen Motor al Pnei Oretz, Hashem, who gives rain upon the face of the land, and the land there is referring to the land of Israel, meaning Hashem himself gives rain in the face of Eretz Israel, Vesholeach Maim al Pnei Chutzois, thereby sending waters to the outskirts, meaning that Hashem only irrigates Eretz Yisrael, and because He irrigates Eretz Yisrael, therefore all other lands get the water that Hashem gets to Eretz Yisrael first, and because of the bracha, because of the blessing and the spirituality and energy of Eretz Yisrael, therefore all other lands get irrigated and all other lands become fertile. The same way, the Gro says, applies to the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, that Hashem, by blessing Eretz Yisrael with these seven fruits, all other fruits in all other lands get blessed from the Ashpoa, from the spirituality, from the vitality, from the energy of those seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael. In the same way that all other lands become irrigated from the rain of Eretz Yisrael, so too all other fruits in all other countries become special, become fertile, and become good from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That's why Hashem is praising Eretz Yisrael, these seven fruits, that these seven fruits are the source for the energy, for the vitality of all other fruits in all other lands. Sefer Imre Pinchas gives two answers. And in one of the answers he says that indeed it's true that other countries have favorite fruits, and indeed it's true even that certain fruits of the seven species are native to other countries and are even praised in other countries. For example, the Gemara praises Bavel for having dates. But what's special about Eretz Yisrael is that only in Eretz Yisrael you'll find all the seven species. To have the seven native fruits, you'll only find in Eretz Yisrael, and that is the specialty of Eretz Yisrael. The second answer that the Imre Pinchas says is that these seven species of Eretz Yisrael have one thing in common, and the thing in common is that they have a sweet and fragrant smell. And he says that when it's written chita in Seira, wheat and barley, is not talking about raw wheat and raw barley, it's talking about bread made of wheat, bread made of barley, which has a beautiful smell. And these seven species of Eretz Yisrael were praised because they have the special smell. And smell is one thing that Hashem wants to praise Eretz Yisrael by, because smell is from the Heichal HaMashiach, from the chamber of the Messiah, for the chamber of the complete redemption. As it's written in Yeshaya chapter 11, verse number 3, V'arichoi be'iras Hashem, I'll make him smell with the fear of Hashem. V'loi le'mare eina vishpot, he's not going to judge by the sight of his eye. V'ol mishna oznav yachiyach, and he's not going to be able to prove things by what he hears. He'll be able to judge by smell. Therefore, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael have the sense of smell, and that is what Hashem is praising Eretz Yisrael to tell you, that they are the vehicle that will cause the Moshiach to come, because smell is an essential part for the coming of the Moshiach. And the reason that the sense of smell is important in the coming of Moshiach could be based on the Bnei Yisachar on Purim. The Bnei Yisachar on Purim notes that out of the five senses, the only sense that was not corrupted was the sense of smell. There are five senses. We have the sense of hearing, the sense of sight, the sense of touch, the sense of taste, and the sense of smell. When the Torah describes the sin of Adam and Chava, the only sense that was not corrupted was the sense of smell. The Torah describes on chapter 3, verse number 6, Vatere o isho ki toivo eitz lemachol, the woman saw that the fruit is good to eat. Vechisavo ilenayim, and it's a delight for the eyes. Venechmot o eitz laaskil, and the fruit is desirable to wisdom. We see here the sense of sight. Then vatikach mipirium, and she took from the fruit, that's the sense of touch, that she took the fruit. Vatoichal, and she ate, that's the sense of taste. And then on pasuk number 8, it's written, Vaishmo es kol Hashem Elokim, and they heard the voice of Hashem, Misalach Bagan, walking on the garden, and they hid, which was also part of the sin, that is the sense of hearing. Then we have the sense of sight, because she saw the fruit. We have the sense of touch, because she grabbed the fruit. We have the sense of taste, because she ate from the fruit. And we have the sense of hearing, because they heard Hashem walking. Four of the five senses are mentioned. The Bnei Yisachar mentions that the sense of smell was never corrupted by the sin of Chava. It could be that Chava could not corrupt the sense of smell, since the sense of smell was a direct conduit to Hashem. Because in chapter 2, verse number 8 of Bereishis, it's written, Va'ifach ba'apov nishmas chaim, that Hashem blew in his nostrils a spirit of life, meaning that Hashem directly blew in our nostrils. Then our nostrils became the conduit for the neshama to come into the guf. It could be that Chava could not corrupt the nostrils. She could not corrupt the sense of smell. Therefore, the Bnei Yisachar says that every time we discussing kapara, atonement, we always describe the sense of smell by the atonement. For example, when you bring a sacrifice, it's written, Reach Nichoach Lashem, that it should be a pleasant aroma to Hashem. In the holiest day of the day, Yom Kippur, the only thing we bring to the Holy of Holies is ketores, is incense, which is also the sense of smell, because the sense of smell was never corrupted. And that could be the reason why the Moshiach will be able to smell justice, because smell is the sense that was not corrupted. And since smell is so important that it's free from corruption, it could be that this is the reason why Hashem praises Eretz Yisrael with the seven fruits, as the Imre Pinchas says, that since these fruits have in common that they all have a pleasant and fragrant aroma, which is the sense of smell, therefore Hashem praises Eretz Yisrael with specifically these fruits, because of their smell. Regarding the second of the Shiva Saminim of the seven species, barley, the Chasam Sofer in the Torah of Parsha Sazria, Divra Maschal Ma'eten, brings down that somebody who eats bread of barley will forget his learning. Also, the Maram Shik on the Taryag Mitzvahs, Mitzvah Yud, brings down the name of Chasam Sofer, that on Pesach it's better not to make matzahs of barley, since it's written regarding Pesach in Dvorim, chapter 16, verse 3, that Lo Yisochel Olav Chometz, you should not eat on the Korban Pesach Chometz, Shivas Yomim Toichel Olav Matzahs, you should eat 7 days matzahs, Lechem Oni, poor man's bread, Kibbach Hipposon, Yatzosa Mitzrayim, because in haste you left Egypt, Leman Tiskor, as Yom Tzeischo Meretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yomei Chayecha, so you may remember the day of you coming out of Egypt, all the days of your life, meaning that by us eating the matzahs will remember our day of coming out of Egypt. The Chasam Sofer says that since bread of barley makes you forget the learning, therefore the Maram Shik says that a person should not make matzahs of barley, because since the main purpose is to remember the day that you got out of Egypt, if you are going to eat matzahs made of barley, you are not going to be able to remember. Therefore, don't make matzahs made of barley. Rav Tzvi Moskovich Zatzal in Koivetz Oitzras Yisrael, Koivetz Tezvov, asks a question on this Chasam Sofer from the Psikta brought down by the Yalkut Reuveni. The Psikta is talking about the Pasuk in Behaloischa, where the Jewish people are complaining about the man, where there on chapter 11, verse number 5, the Pasuk says, Socharno sadogo asher noicha b'mitzrayim chinam. We remember the fish that we used to eat in Egypt for free. Es hakeshuim, the cucumbers, v'sabatichim, the melons, v'sachotzir, the leeks, v'sabetzolim, the onions, v'sashumim, and the garlic. There are 5 species that they list, that they remember, that obviously the man did not taste like. In other words, whenever you ate the man, whatever you wanted the man to taste like, it would taste. If you wanted the man to be like chicken, it would be like chicken. If you wanted to be like steak, it would be like steak. If you wanted to taste like apple, it would taste like apple. But these 5 things the man would not taste like. Rashi, by the way, answers that the reason Hashem didn't let the man taste like these things is that since these things are bad for nursing women, Hashem didn't want the man to be prejudicial to anybody. But the Psikta says that the reason that the man did not taste like these 5 things is because these 5 things make you forget learning. And Hashem did not want you to forget learning by eating the man. Therefore, Hashem made it that the man will not taste like these 5 things that cause a person to forget learning. The question that Rav Tzvi Moskovitz asks, that if it's true, according to the Chasam Sofer, that barley bread is not good, why did the man taste like barley? According to the Psikta, that says that the man did not taste like anything that could harm learning, then why did the man taste like barley? Included in the list that it thinks that are prejudicial to learning, it should be listed barley. And since it's not listed barley, obviously it's not true that barley is not bad for learning. In truth, a similar question is brought down by the Malbim on the Psikta, and the Malbim asks a question from the Gemara in Horias Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara in Horias Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis is listing five things that are prejudicial for learning. The Gemara there says, Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, Chamisha Dvarim Meshachim Asalimud, five things cause a person to forget his learning. Hoichu Mimasha Oichel Achbor, somebody who eats from something that a mouse ate, Mimash Oichel Chatul, and from something that a cat ate, meaning that you eat any food that was nibbled on by a mouse or by a cat, that will cause you to forget the learning. Va'oichel leiv shel behema, somebody who eats the heart of a domesticated animal. The Magen Avraham in Orachaim 170, Sifkot 19 says that this applies not only to two hearts of behemoths, which normally are big animals, such cows, sheep, goats, but it also applies to fowl and deer, meaning that we're not allowed to eat the heart of a chicken. And indeed, certain Ashkenazim customs do not allow you to eat the hearts of chickens and the hearts of animals. There are other customs that don't allow you to eat the whole heart of a chicken or an animal, but allow you to eat a partial heart of a chicken and an animal. Meaning that when the Gemara says that when you eat the heart of a behema, that will cause you to forget your learning, that is only if you eat the whole heart, but if you eat a partial heart, then it is allowed. The third thing the Gemara lists is Haragel Bezeisim, somebody who consumes olives regularly. Reb Chaim Kanievsky is medakdek in the Lashon. He notices the exact Lashon of the Talmud, that the Talmud does not say Va'oichel Zeisim, somebody who eats olives, then it would include any kind of olives. The Talmud says V'haragil Bezeisim, somebody who eats olives regularly, but he doesn't explain what regularly means. And in Koivetz, Keren Shloimeh brings down a tshuva from Rabbi Tzalel Stern that brings a proof from Yerushalmi that regularly means when you eat two consecutive meals, meaning that you have two consecutive meals and in those meals you have olive, then the olives will harm your learning. But if you only eat one meal of olive, that is not considered regularly, that won't harm your learning. Rav Yaakov Emden in his Sefer Moirik Tzio writes down that regularly means when somebody makes a meal out of olives. If I'm going to sit down and eat olives, then the olives will be prejudicial to me, then it will harm me. But if I don't make a meal out of olives, I eat olives in the meal, then olives will not be harmful for my learning. The Imre Emes brings down that regularly means once every 30 days, that if I eat olives, but I don't eat again till after 30 days, then the olives will not be prejudicial for my learning. But if I eat olives within 30 days of each other, then the olives will harm the learning. Rabbi Yaakov Emden on the Gemara in Horias explains that the harmful effect of eating olives apply only when they are in their raw state. But if they are pickled, or they are cooked, or they are salted, then they are no longer harmful for learning. The fourth thing the Gemara says, V'ashoyse maim shel shiyuro rechitza. Anybody who drinks water left over from bathing, meaning water that a person bathed on and another person drinks that water, will make him forget the learning. And the last thing the Gemara says, V'aroichetz raglav zu al gabezu. Somebody who washes his feet one over the other, in the way that the Kohanim used to watch by the Kiyor, that will make him forget the learning. The Kohanim were protected because that was the proper way for them to do. That is the way to perform the mitzvah. But anybody who washes his feet the way the Kohanim used to do, that used to put one foot on top of the other and then wash their feet, that will cause them to forget the learning. The Yesh Omrim, the Gemara adds a sixth idea, anybody who places his clothing underneath his head, that will cause him to forget the learning. That if you put your clothing underneath your head as a pillow, that will cause you to forget your learning. Nonetheless, we see from this Gemara that one of the things that causes a person to forget his learning is when he eats olives. The Malbum then asks a question on the Psikta that says that the taste of the man excluded any of the things that cause you to forget learning. Why didn't the man exclude olives? The same question that Rav Tzvi Moskovich asks on the Chasam Sofer that says that barley bread makes you forget learning. Why didn't the man exclude barley? The Malbum asks on the Psikta, why didn't the man exclude Zaysim? I wanted to answer the Psikta and the Chasam Sofer in a very simple way, meaning that the Psikta that mentions the five things that are harmful for learning, meaning the five things that cause you to forget learning, therefore the man did not taste like that, those five things are absolutes, meaning no matter how you eat onions, no matter how you eat garlic or how you eat cucumbers, they are always harmful for learning, according to the Psikta. Therefore, the man did not taste like them, because no matter how you ate those five species listed in the Torah, they were always harmful for learning. It always made you forget your learning. But regarding Zaysim, regarding olives, we mentioned from the Yavetz that they are only harmful if you eat them in their raw state, meaning that if you boil them or you pickle them or you salt them, then the olives aren't harmful anymore. Then there is a possibility for you eating olive without you forgetting your learning. Therefore, the man could have tasted like salted or pickled or boiled olives. It did not have the taste of raw olives. But nonetheless, it could have tasted like olives, and even if it tasted like olives, it wouldn't be harmful for your learning. Therefore, when the Jewish people complained about the man that they can't taste certain tastes, olive is not listed there, because they actually tasted the taste of olive, but not in its raw state. And that answers the question of the Malbum. And regarding barley, the Chasam Sofer only mentions that pas seorim, bread of barley, causes somebody to forget his learning. The Chasam Sofer never mentions that barley by itself causes a person to forget its learning. Then could be that the man tasted like raw barley, or the man tasted like boiled barley, or barley made in a pot, that doesn't cause a person to forget his learning. Therefore, it's not a question anymore why the Psikta doesn't mention barley as one of the things that causes a person to forget learning, because barley by itself does not cause a person to forget its learning. Therefore, the man could have tasted like barley. The man could not taste like bread of barley, but nonetheless, the man could have tasted like barley. And that answers the question of Rav Tzvi Moskovitz on the Chasam Sofer. But this answer won't work according to the Imre Pinchas and according to the Maharsha in Horius Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Maharsha in Horius Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis is discussing the Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph 41a. The Gemara there says the Omar Rabbi Yosef Veitemer Rav Yitzchak, because Rabbi Yosef, and some people say Rav Yitzchak, says that whatever is mentioned first in the verse, in the Pasuk, is first in regard of making the bracha. Meaning that if I have the fruits of Eretz Yisrael laid in front of me, meaning that I have grapes, I have pomegranates, and I have figs, and I want to eat all the fruits, then I have to make a blessing on the fruit that is written first in the verse. The Gemara explains which verse are we referring to. The Gemara says that this is the verse in this week's Parsha that we are discussing, where it says, Eretz Chita Seora, a land of wheat and barley, Geffen, grape, te'ena, figs, verimoin, and pomegranate, eretz, alent, zeis, shaman, of oil olives, udvash, and honey, and we mention honey means dates, then the Gemara means to say that whatever it written in the verse first takes priority in blessing. Meaning that since it's written grape before figs and before pomegranate, if I have a plate that has figs, pomegranate and grapes, I have to make the blessings on the grape, thereby exempting the other fruits. Because whatever it's written first in the verse, I have to make a bracha first. The Gemara later clarifies that that is not exactly true, meaning that not exactly the way it's written in the pasuk is the order that we are going to make the blessings, because the Gemara tells a story that Rav Chisda and Rav Imnuna have a yasu b'sudasa. Rav Chisda and Rav Imnuna were having a meal together, and Aisul kamei tam rev rimoina, they brought in front of them dates and pomegranate, and according to the order of the pasuk, pomegranate should come in front of dates, because pomegranate is the fifth fruit mentioned, and afterwards comes olives and dates. And Rav Emnuna took dates first. Rav Chisda asked them, "Don't you hold what Rabbi Yosef and some say Rav Yitzchok says, that whatever is written in the pasuk first takes precedence, meaning that you should have taken the pomegranate before the dates?" Rav Emnuna answers that zeh sheni la'aretz vezeh chamishi la'aretz, that dates is second to the word aretz land, and pomegranate is the fifth to the word aretz land. The Torah writes down two times the word eretz, because the way the pasuk is written is eretz chitos oira, a land of wheat and barley, geffen, grapes, te'ena, verimoin, figs and pomegranate. Then it's written eretz zeit shemen udvash, a land of oil olives and honey, meaning dates. Then there is written two times the word eretz. We view the one that is closest to the word eretz, meaning since pomegranate is the fifth from the word eretz and dates is the second from the word eretz, then dates takes precedence over pomegranate. Therefore, Rav Emnuna took dates before he took pomegranate, meaning that the order of the seven species are wheat, barley, olives, dates, grapes, figs, and pomegranate. The Kerem Shloima asks a question: why is it necessary for the Torah to write two times the word eretz, and then we have to go and say that those that are closest to eretz take priority? Why couldn't the Torah just write down eretz, chita, seoira, zeisim, tamarim, geffen, te'ena, verimoin, a land of wheat and barley, olives, dates, grapes, figs and pomegranate, without making a separate sentence? Like that, I will never make a mistake of knowing the priority in the fruits. I will know the way that the pasuk lists. That's the way to prioritize the bracha. The Kerem Shloima answers with the idea of the Maharsha in Horius. As we mentioned, one of the reasons that a person may forget his learning is harogel bezeisim, is if somebody eats olives regularly. The Gemara says, Mesaile Rabbi Yochanan, this brings a proof to Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan used to say, Keshem she'azayis meshakeach limut shel shivim shana, in the same way that by eating olives you forget the learning of 70 years, Rashi explains that even learning that you are so accustomed to, that you are so clear as learning of 70 years, nonetheless, if you eat olives, you are going to forget it. Kach, shemen zayis, olive oil, meshiv limut shel shivim shana, brings back learning of 70 years. Meaning that anything you forgot, by you eating olive oil, you will restore the learning of 70 years. The Marsha comments that now we understand why the pasuk says, zeis shemen, oil olives, and doesn't say Zeisim and doesn't say Alephs, meaning that theoretically there is a very strong question on the Pasuk. The Pasuk names the fruits, meaning that it says Chita, wheat, Seoira, barley, Gefen, grape, Te'eno, figs, Rimoin, pomegranate. When it comes to olives, it adds Zeis, shemen, oil olives. Why doesn't it just say Jasim? Why doesn't it just say olives? But according to the Gemara now, we understand that since these are the fruits that Hashem is praising Eretz Yisrael with, Hashem doesn't want to praise Eretz Yisrael with something harmful. And since olives per se are harmful, Hashem doesn't want to use olives as the title of the fruit for you not to make a mistake and eat olives, because olives by themselves are not praiseworthy. They are harmful because they make you forget your learning. Therefore, the Torah tells you, Zeit Shemen, oil olives, to let you know that the most important part is the Shemen. The praiseworthy part of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael is not the Zeisim, not the olives, but the oil that comes out of the olives, because that's beneficial, that makes you remember the Torah. The Kerem Shlomo says that he understands very well regarding the olives that the Torah doesn't want to write down Zeisim, because Zeisim is harmful, as the Marsha explains. Therefore, the Torah writes down Zeis Shemen, oil olives. But why does the Torah write down Dvash? Why does the Torah write down the byproduct of dates, which is honey? Why doesn't the Torah write down Tamarim, dates? The Kerem Shlomo answers based on the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Pei Zayin, Omed Beis, where the Gemara there is discussing the reason why Hashem exiled us to Bavel. The Gemara explains that it was a kindness of Hashem to exile us to Bavel, and Ula says that the reason Hashem exiled us to Bavel is in order for us to eat tamarim, to eat dates, meaning that in Bavel there are a lot of date trees, and dates are beneficial to you, as the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Ayin Amud Aleph 70a says, that dates satiates you, makes you full, warms the body, and loosens your bowels, and provide energy. Therefore, Hashem, out of His kindness, decided to exile us to Bavel in order to allow us to survive by eating dates. The Gemara continues and says, Ula ikla le Pompadisa. Ula came to Pompadisa, which is a place in Babylonian. Kruvulai trina de tamra. They brought him a whole basket of dates. Omalo, kamo kihana bezuza. How many of these can you get for a zuz? Omrulei, they told him tlas bezuza, that dates are so cheap that you could get three for a zuz, meaning you get three baskets of dates for a zuz, as if someone would have said three baskets of dates for a dollar. Omar, Ula criticized the Jewish people there and said, Molet Sana de Dufsha, a full basket of honey, Bezuza for a zuz, Ubafloa loy oske boiraisa, and the Babylonians are not learning Torah, meaning that the Babylonians were busy working for a living. Ula was wondering why are they wasting time working for a living if they could get such delicious, inexpensive food, that you could get three basketful of dates, which sustain you, which gives you nourishment for a dollar, then why bother going to work to make a living to get other foods? Why don't you just eat dates and go learn Torah? The Gemara continues that by Laila Tsaru, that at night those dates caused them to have terrible stomach cramps, terrible diarrhea. Omar, Ula reversed his position and said the opposite. Tsana, Maloy Tsana Sama de Moisa Bezuza Bebavel, a basketful of poison that sells for a zuz in Bavel, Ubavloa Oske Boraiso, and yet the Babylonians still occupied themselves with the learning of Torah, meaning that Ula realized that eating dates cause you stomach cramps, and if you have stomach cramps that you can't learn Torah, but yet the Babylonians eat those dates and still go to learn Torah, then Ula praised the Babylonians for learning Torah. But nonetheless, from this Gemara you see that if you eat dates, you get stomach cramps, and it's not good for you because you can't learn Torah when you have stomach cramps. Therefore, says the Sefer Kerem Shloimeh, that answers why the Torah writes down dvash, why the Torah doesn't write down the word dates and writes the word honey, because dates themselves are harmful, as we see from this Gemara, but the honey of dates are beneficial. Therefore, when Hashem wants to praise the land of Eretz Yisrael by its fruit, Hashem doesn't want again to put something harmful. Therefore, the Torah uses dvash, the honey, and doesn't use the date. Because the date is harmful for you, and you can't learn Torah because of your stomach cramps, but yet the honey of the dates are good for you. According to this, Sefer Kerem Shloimeh answers, why is it written two times the word Eretz? Because the first Eretz is referring to the fruits themselves, meaning that Eretz, chito, is wheat, so'ira, barley, gefen is grapes, te'ena, figs, rimon, pomegranate, they are the fruits themselves, where the fruits themselves are beneficial to you. But the second Eretz is referring to the byproduct of the fruits. The byproducts of the fruits are beneficial, but the fruits themselves are not beneficial. Had the Torah written down altogether, you wouldn't get this message. But the Torah wanted to separate the fruits from the byproducts. Therefore, the Torah inserts another Eretz in between them to separate the fruits which are beneficial to you and the other two fruits, olives and dates, which the fruits themselves are not good to you because they make you forget Torah or they hamper your learning Torah, where the byproducts of these fruits are beneficial. Now, according to what the Kerem Shloimeh explains, that the first Pasuk is talking about the real items and not the byproducts, then what the Imre Pinchas says becomes problematic. Meaning that the Imre Pinchas says that the reason that the seven species of Eretz Yisrael are specially praiseworthy is because they are related to the sense of smell. And he explains that when the Torah says chito and se'ira, wheat and barley, the Torah is not referring for the wheat and barley themselves, but is referring to the lechem from the bread, because of lechem kesholcham, because bread, when it's had, yesh bo reach toif, has a good smell. Then when the Torah is referring to chito and se'ira, wheat and barley, the Torah is not referring to the wheat and barley themselves. The Torah is referring to the byproduct of the barley. Then according to him, it's questionable why it's written two times the word Eretz, because in the first chito se'ira we have also a byproduct of wheat and barley, which is the bread. We don't have the wheat and barley themselves, we have the bread. Therefore, it's questionable why isn't it written in the second Eretz. If the second Eretz is referring to all the byproducts, according to the Imre Pinchas, that it's referring to the bread of wheat and the bread of barley, then it should be written in the second Eretz, since it's a byproduct. In truth, there is a very strong question on the Kerem Shloimeh, because the Kerem Shloimeh seems to say that what is written in the first Eretz means the fruit in its raw state. The fruit by itself, that is what is written in the first Eretz. Eretz, a land, chito, of wheat, se'oira, barley, then gefen, grapes, te'ena, figs, verimoin, and pomegranate. That cannot be, because as we mentioned, the Gemara says that what is written first in the Pasuk gets a priority in Brocha, which means that chito and se'oira, wheat and barley, get a priority over gefen, over grapes. Now, if the Torah is referring to fruits in its raw state, that cannot be, because the Mechaber in Siman Reish Yud Aleph 2:11 Sif Hey brings down that Hod Chita Soira Kodmin, this rule that wheat and barley take precedence over the other fruits of Eretz Yisrael, davke kesheosa mehem tafshil oipas, only if you make out of the wheat and barley a cooked item, or you make bread out of them, then the brachas come before the brachas of grapes. Aval koises chito, but if somebody is chewing a wheat, shabir choisa poire priadome, that the bracha on wheat is boire priadome, ene kodemes the bracha boire prioids. Then in that case, the wheat would not get a bracha before the grapes, which are boire prioids. Meaning that what is written in the Torah, chito es oira, has to refer to wheat and barley that are cooked or they're already prepared as bread. Because then the bracha is either a moitzi lechem min haaretz or the bracha is boire min hamezoinos. In that case, the wheat and barley get priority over the grapes. But if the wheat and barley would be in their raw states, meaning that you take raw wheat and raw barley and you chew on it, then the bracha on the barley and the wheat would be boire pri hadoma, then the bracha of boire pri oeitz would take precedence over the bracha of boire pri hadoma, because the rule is when I have something that is boire pri hadoma and something that's boire pri oeitz, I'm required to first make the boire pri oeitz and then the boire pri hadoma. In our case, if I would have the wheat, barley and grape, I would be required to make first the boire pri oeitz on the grape and then make a boire pri hadoma on the wheat and barley. Therefore, when the Gemara says that whatever is written in the Pasuk take precedence for bracha, then obviously what is written wheat and barley means wheat and barley in its changed status, not in its raw status, but in its changed status, either cooked or baked as bread, where the bracha is boire min hamezoinos or amoitzi lechem min haaretz. And that contradicts the Kerem Shleima, because the Kerem Shleima says that what is written in the first eretz refers to the fruits in its raw state, and the second eretz refers to the fruits in its changed state. But that can't be, because according to the Mechaber, what is written in the first eretz, specifically chita soira, refers to the fruits, wheat and barley, in its changed state, either cooked or baked as bread, and according to Sefer Kerem Shleima, in that case they should have been written together with the second eretz, where the second eretz is discussing the byproducts of the fruits, as the oil of the olives and the honey of the dates. Then it should also mention chita and seoira in this eretz, because they are referring to the byproducts of the wheat and barley, which means that they are changed, they are baked and cooked, and not in its raw status. The Pnei Menachem answers a beautiful answer why the Torah writes down separately by the olives and the dates the word Eretz. And he says that Hashem wanted to separate the fruits that cause harm to the Jewish people, the fruits that caused the Jewish people to say bad things about Israel, from the fruits that were never corrupted, that never caused any harm. Meaning that the grapes, the figs and the dates are the fruits that the spies brought back when they came to spy the land. And because they brought back those huge fruits, the Jewish people started speaking bad about Eretz Yisrael, and the Jewish people were afraid to go into the land of Israel, and that caused for that whole generation to die in the desert. Then even though they are truly the species that Hashem glorifies Eretz Yisrael by, nonetheless Hashem didn't want to be that in the same breath you speak about the fruits that cause corruption and hurt to the Jewish people, and the fruit that did not cause hurt and corruption to the Jewish people. Therefore Hashem saw fit to separate them by the word Eretz. Since olives and dates never were the cause for corruption of Jewish people, nobody spoke bad of the land of Israel because of those fruits, therefore Hashem decided to separate and write a eretz, a land, zeis, shemen, udvash, of olives and dates, in order for you to know that these fruits are special. Even though all the seven fruits of Eretz Yisrael are special, but nonetheless, these two fruits are specifically special because they did not cause any harm and any corruption to the Jewish people. Also could be that because of that, these fruits take priority over other fruits. As we mentioned, the order is wheat and barley, as we mentioned, is in a cooked state or in a baked state, but in the fruits per se, olives, dates take priority over grapes, figs and dates, and the reason could be because they did not corrupt the Jewish people because they were not part of the spies. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should again merit to have the fruits of Eretz Yisrael restored to its full potential, that Mashiach should come, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.